You are listening to the Girl Boss Chat Series podcast. I'm your host, Kylie Richardson. Just to give you a little bit of a backstory on who I am a life coach for female entrepreneurs, and I also am the founder of the Business Builders Community, which is based in New Zealand. Whilst I now call Christchurch, New Zealand home, I am originally from Australia and made the move over the ditch about 12 years ago now. I'm super passionate about the Girl Boss community and surrounding myself with like-minded women, and I realized that there was an opportunity to create a platform to share stories of other women in business, to inspire and to motivate and to help build a really supportive community of girl bosses in New Zealand. Hence the creation of this podcast. I really hope that you get as much value out of this as I have from creating it. And I would absolutely love any of your feedback with regards to the podcast. I want this to be a platform that you love listening to. I want to be delivering interviews and content that you want to hear. So please definitely get in touch. Without further ado, let's jump in. Hi, Carrie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. I am so excited to have you on my brand new podcast this week, and I would love to, I guess, introduce you to the listeners. So just from my perspective, you are Carrie from Altitude Pole, and I met you, probably a couple of years ago now through one of my networking events, was it?
Yeah, it would have been about 2 years ago at the Venus line,
Awesome. We kind of have just kept in touch, and I've really loved watching your journey and seeing your business evolve. Obviously, you were very established when we met already, but you've had lots of exciting changes over the last wee while. So did you want to introduce yourself to the listeners of the podcast?
All right. Well, like you said, my name is Carrie. So I'm the owner of Altitude Pole and Fitness. So we're basically a pole dance and fitness studio. And we're all about kind of making fitness fun and community based and teaching people to just appreciate their body for what it can do and learn to love it for what it is rather than focusing on changing how it looks and things. Got a few studios around the country now and just kind of seeing what happens.
Beautiful, beautiful. So how did your journey start into your business?
Oh, well, I was actually a software engineer after, trudging uni and doing a good old computer science degree, which has been really useful. Mm-hmm. So I was working in the IT industry, and then one of my workmates was going to pole fitness classes in England where I was living at the time. Mm-hmm. And, just kind of decided to go along with her and fell in love, really. And then when we moved back to Christchurch, there wasn't really a studio that I clicked with, kind of doing it in the style I wanted to do it. So I found a space, put up a few poles, and just kind of started teaching more to have a space for myself to train, I think, more than anything else at that point. And, just kind of get some of my friends into it. And then it just, it evolved is one way to put it.
Awesome, awesome. So what brought you back to Christchurch?
So I grew up here, and I think at that point we'd been in England for 2 years, which is where my husband is from, and we just decided it was probably time to move back home and, do the whole get married, buy a house thing, and my sister was having a baby. Mm-hmm. So, just kind of finished up the OE, came back to Christchurch to see what would happen.
Awesome, awesome. And so how long ago was that now?
That would have been about 8 or 9 years.
Okay, awesome. And so when you started off the studio quite organically, at what point did you realize that it was actually going to become like a full-time thing for you? Was there any tipping point, or was it something that you changed and you jumped all in? Or
there was probably a couple of things. So I think the first time I did actually try it at one point, and I decided, I spoke to my work and I said, can I have 3 months off just to see if this is feasible? And it totally bombed. Mm-hmm. We went through quite a big renovation at that point. So there was a big expense going out. Mm-hmm. We started to introduce anti-gravity yoga. So we had to put up all these really expensive frames in the studio. So it was kind of a 3-month period where we had, huge expenses going out and obviously not like wasn't enough time to really dig in and make any changes. So I freaked out at that point, went back to my job and was like, no, this will just stay like a side hustle forever.
Yeah.
And then I guess eventually I had my first child, so about 4.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I guess it was a natural decision at that point because I was going on maternity leave anyway, that, yeah, it was time once again to try and make it work. And I did things differently that time, I think, because I knew it was long term. I mm-hmm. got myself a business coach and just really learned about the business side of it. And, yeah, I think that was the biggest kind of thing that made it work that time.
Awesome. That's really, really cool. Now, with your obviously you've got two little ones now.
Yes, two little boys.
Yes, beautiful. How do you find balancing being a mum and running your business?
balancing is definitely the right word. It doesn't always go to plan. I mean, there's ups and downs. Like, obviously, the flexibility to kind of work at home or work the hours that I want is awesome. But also it does mean, and especially just with the first child, when my husband was working full time as well, it did mean that if he was sick or anything went wrong, then it was me that had to take the day off kind of thing, because, mm-hmm. you know, it wasn't like I had set hours or had to call in sick anywhere. So it was kind of my job was the lower priority, whereas because it was harder, obviously, for Toby to take the day off. So that is always hard. Yeah. But I think with the second child, we made the decision that Toby would actually be the stay-at-home father, because there's not really the choice to go on a year's maternity leave when you run your own business, right? Yeah. Like, what are you going to do? You just pause the business for a year? So, yeah, it was actually Toby that dropped down. He does 16 hours a week now, and he basically looks after the kids. And I am, the main earner, I guess, and I do the business. So that's made it a lot easier. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely still times, you know, I have to drag myself up into my study in the mornings when the family is playing downstairs and I just want to, like, cuddle on the couch with them. So it's that self-discipline thing, I think, is probably the hardest bit now. But yeah.
Yeah, self-discipline is a big part of being in business.
Isn't it? Yeah, and I've never really been great at that, but you learn quickly.
Yeah, you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Cool, so I obviously, when I met you, you had the one studio. Was it there was two studios, wasn't there? There was one in Auckland as well.
Yeah,
so you had one in Christchurch and one in Auckland, and you made the transition last year to decide to franchise it. Could you tell us a bit about that?
So originally I had my studio here in Christchurch, the original one, and then I opened a second one in North Shore with and a business partner bought into that, so I'm kind of 50% owner of that one. And then, it was kind of always in the back of my mind to keep growing, and franchising was always a word that I'd kind of heard tossed around and seemed like it might fit what I wanted. And I think the whole being a mother and trying to keep that work-life balance, it was really important that I didn't go into any new studios myself, because obviously that was the other option, was to open them myself. The time commitment was that with that, and the risk involved is obviously a lot more, even if the payoff is greater. So, yeah, the franchising model, just everything fit. We obviously had to put a lot of work in the setup phase, and a lot of costs with, you know, legal requirements and accounting and investing in software and investing in teams that knew what they were doing and training. But I could take that at my own pace. So I kind of first got the studios set up to run themselves, and that kind of tested the systems as well to make sure that this business model would work if we handed it over to someone else. And it was literally like, you hire someone to do this job, you hire someone to do this job, the place will kind of run itself. And then I stepped back and just started pretty much writing up every single thing that we do into this big operations manual and tweaking things and testing things and recording numbers about how things were going and how we could track the business in like these little green, orange and red light systems. And that probably took about a year to 18 months. And then, just kind of launched it. And it was one of my instructors had actually come to me and said that she wanted to open an altitude. So it was kind of that mm-hmm. made me go, yeah, it's time. So I said to her, give me 18 months and then we'll do it. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. And so how many franchise studios do you have now?
So there's 4 franchises and obviously the 2 that I own. So there's 6 altitudes now around the country.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's been a bit crazy, I think. We kind of launched the first one and went public with this in August last year. So I never expected mm-hmm. this kind of response or growth rate. It's been really cool. We actually had to put the brakes on it for a while just to make sure we could really focus on these studios, because obviously investing our time now, making sure these are a success, is going to pay off much more in the long run than getting like another 20 open and, you know, yeah. waiting 2 months, which probably isn't feasible at all. But yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting. So for the listeners, if they're wanting to come along to Altitude Pole, where are your studios located or where are the franchises located now?
So we've got Takapuna in Auckland, Onehunga in Auckland, and now there's one just opening in about 3 weeks in like south Auckland, Drury, near Pukekohe.
Oh, yeah.
So there's kind of 3 around the Auckland area now, which is quite nice. And then we've got City Centre. And then in Christchurch, Wigram in Christchurch, and then one out in Whanganui.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, that's good. that's awesome. It's always exciting when you hear something like Whanganui that's a little bit.
I know, yeah. It was a cool one, actually, yeah.
That's amazing.
Auckland Christchurch based, I think, because we already had studios there, we kind of had our client base there and our people who knew us. So we've kind of grown there quite easily. But, yeah, to reach out to Whanganui is really cool, and they're doing well.
That's fantastic. And when will you be looking at, I guess, allowing more franchises to open up? Just if there's anyone listening that's like absolutely loves Pole and is like, oh, my God, we need a studio in Wellington or we need one in Napier. Or
sure, Wellington would be a great location. So we're actually just about to, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to kind of arrange our next marketing plan for the next stage, and we're going to try and do another 6. Over the next 12 months is kind of planned. So that'll all be launched and announced in the next, probably it'll be a month of planning the campaign, and then we'll, announce it in about a month, the new territory is available. So, yeah, it'll be cool to see that. Yeah, hopefully it'll keep the steam rolling, whatever it's called.
That's awesome. And I'll pop in the show notes at the end how people can get in touch with you if this is something that's of interest to them. Because I know that I've personally got quite a few friends that are into pole fitness, and I also know a lot of girl bosses. So why not combine those two loves?
And it really is just such a cool lifestyle, because people do get so passionate about pole, and this is a chance to have a business you're passionate about. And it's been awesome. Yeah,
that's so awesome. Obviously, apart from your you know, future franchising, what does the future hold for Carrie and for Altitude, or even just, I guess, just you as a girl boss? What are your kind of plans?
That is a good question.
You don't have to go long term. You go in the next 12 months, in the next 2 years.
Well, that's it, isn't it? You're meant to have your 5-year vision, and I really struggle with 5 years. I'm good at 1 year.
I struggle with.
But yeah, in kind of 1 year, I guess, is to get those next 6 up and running for Altitude. I'm quite interested in testing, because I have a few theories about kind of the blueprint for running a successful business, right, that should work for any business. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want to test this again and just make sure it wasn't all luck, and challenge myself with it and start a new business. So I've got a few ideas around that.
Yay!
I'm not sure if it's the smartest thing to do, because, you know, you're meant to triple down and focus on one thing and stuff. But sometimes you just need, I think with pole, it's my passion, it's my hobby, it's what I do for a workout, it's what I do for my job. Like, it's everything in my life. And I just think I need to find something else that I can do almost as a bit of a fun hobby. But also, I'm really into this whole business thing now, and I've really learned to appreciate that side of that entrepreneurial side of things. So, yeah, I kind of want to start a new side hustle and see what happens. Yeah, it won't be something I invest a lot of time into, but it'll just be something maybe that, you know, a couple of evenings a week I just release myself from pole and think about something different and see what happens with it.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. I cannot wait to get you back on the podcast in 12 months' time and we'll see what other empires you're creating.
Yeah. Well, that'll definitely be a different space, hopefully. So we'll see.
Yeah, amazing. So I know you mentioned briefly before that you hired a business coach. If anyone is, obviously I am a massive advocate for the working with mentors and coaches and just getting, I guess, more specialized advice and getting someone to guide you along and kick your butt. What was the biggest takeaway or the biggest thing that you found with using the business coach to kind of direct your business? How did that help you? The biggest impact that had on your business?
I mean, 100% that changed everything for me. I got a very specialized, so I'm still with them, and it's a very specialized kind of fitness business coaching service. So they do fitness businesses specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just starting to, they just hold you accountable, I think. They kind of listen to you. And when you start a business, you obviously do it in an area you're passionate about. And like I knew how to teach pole. I was really comfortable teaching pole and I could get good instructors. But the business side, like, I mean, who teaches you that when you're a pole dancer or, you know, maybe like you're a hairdresser and you open a hair salon? Like you actually don't get to go into that business to do hair or to teach pole. You have to run a business. And other than, you know, maybe going to get a degree in that, like you've got to find someone who can teach you that stuff because there's so much to it. And luckily, like I really enjoy that side. So I've kind of dropped out of the teaching area now, which is kind of what you have to do when you run that kind of business, isn't it? Like, you know, I'm sure a builder probably doesn't get to do much building if they want their business to succeed. They've got to like step out of the tools and be the business owner. So having a business coach can guide you in that sense. And it really was just somebody to show me how to look at numbers and those kind of skills around running a business. Numbers, pretty much, just looking at what numbers I needed to be testing and measuring and tracking.
And if somebody is considering starting their own business or they already have their business in there and they're kind of wanting to maybe look at going all in on it, what advice would you have for them?
Oh, so much. I don't know. There's so much good advice out there, isn't there? I mean, read books for sure. Like books can teach you so much. And I think even if, you know, for every 5 books you might read, one will probably change your life in every area of running a business or leadership or self-discipline. Just, you've just got to invest in yourself, don't you? Like whether it's courses or it's, time reading books or podcasts, like you do have to commit to that if you're going to start a business. Otherwise, just kind of go for it and don't stop because nothing's going to be quick. But if you don't stop and you don't give up, then you have no choice but to succeed. Like it might take 20 years, but you'll get there. Like it's a patient thing, which I'm terrible at. I'm not patient at all, which probably helped because I never expected to get here. Otherwise, I would have like given up after a year because I didn't get there in a year.
That's really, really good advice. I absolutely love that because a lot of the time in business, we don't, you know, we kind of have an idea of where we think we're going to head, but, you know, with life and how things generally turn out, things change.
Yeah, they totally do. You've got to be flexible, don't you, and just keep going.
Yeah, and things could turn out 10 times better than you could ever have imagined if you just kept going.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, say yes to everything. Maybe that's more life than business. But...
yeah. Hey, that's good. It's all about the balance. And was there one standout challenge that you have faced in your 8 or 9 years of kind of launching the business or running the business, I should say, that you would, you know, like to impart some wisdom on our listeners so that they can maybe avoid or look into further so they can avoid the mistake or the hiccup or the challenge?
I think that, like, in that there's never been any big challenges. I mean, it's just kind of been that ongoing thing of, like, the time balance and everything. And I think definitely like time is always going to be, and getting sucked into the business to the point where you're the only one that can do anything in it. The biggest thing for me was really to identify the roles that I was doing, get really clear on what they were, write them down, and then hire people into them. And even if it meant like that I wasn't paying myself for a long time, or, you know, not taking what I wanted, and I was paying other people. It's what's allowed mm-hmm. business to grow without me hating it, I guess, because I'm not sucked into mm-hmm. it to the point where I can't have a holiday or I can't tune out at like 5 p.m. and enjoy time with my family. And I just think it's too easy to be the only one doing everything because you think you can't afford to hire anyone. And you just have to make that a priority, mm-hmm. like hire a good team around you, pay them more than you pay yourself, and eventually like grow. Yeah, it's really there.
Awesome. Yeah. That's stellar advice. I couldn't agree more that outsourcing sooner than you think you're ready is just brilliant, brilliant advice, because, you know, I heard someone say once, you know, would you pay $4 or $5 to get a dollar back, like, you know, to make an extra dollar on that return? I'm like, well, yes. So in the early stages, you are investing a lot of money up front, but as long as you're, you know, making money on your business, whether or not it's being invested back in and paying for that help, if that's freeing up your time and allowing you to put your energy and your passion into the parts of your business that you really enjoy doing, and not getting bogged down in all the small details, then I say do that.
Yeah, definitely. You just have to, basically don't take money from the business for as long as you possibly can get away with it. Just invest it back in into people or systems or whatever.
Absolutely. Oh my God, that's such great advice. And I am honestly, I'm so excited to see more of your studios popping up around New Zealand, and hopefully further afield. I hope you're not stopping at New Zealand. And I'm really keen to touch base with you again in 12 months time and see where you're at.
Yeah, brand new business.
See what other side hustles you've got going.
Whatever that's going to be.
Could be interviewing you. Interviewing you on something completely different.
See if I can take my own advice all over again.
Absolutely. Now I'll put this in the show notes as well, but if people want to follow your journey and just see what you're up to, what social platforms are you on and how can they find you on those?
My main one is Instagram, which is just Harry Summers. Mm-hmm. I must admit though, I'm really bad at like the whole personal and business side of things. I tend to just post poll stuff. So if you like watching poll,
that's okay. That's okay.
Then it would be a great one. But
I think that a lot of people will love to see this.
Yeah, it is fun.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Carrie. It's been so lovely chatting with you. I can't wait to see what's in store in the future
for
you.
Thank you so much. And I'm really excited to keep following this podcast and, see what other awesome things are.
Cheers, Carrie.
See ya.
Make sure you head over to @CarrieSummers on Instagram and give her a follow. Carrie is completely inspirational, and the incredible moves that they do on those polls is amazing. So go and give her a follow. She is definitely a girl boss to watch. I did have a little sneaky chat off air with her with regards to some other exciting things she's got going on. So I will definitely be getting her back on the podcast to share more on that once that's all up and running. I really hope that you have enjoyed this interview and this podcast, and I would love to have you inside the Business Builders Tribe on Facebook. You can find us at www.facebook.com/businessbuilders, and in there is a wee little link to send a request through to join our Facebook group. It'd also be super rad that if you have loved this, if you could give us a wee share on your social media platform. Take a screenshot, chuck it in your Instagram stories, and be sure to tag us @businessbuildhers. We absolutely love you and appreciate you, and can't wait to chat again in the next episode.